Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we talk about the book Rise, Girl, Rise, a picture book for kids told through alternating points of view. The Grand Rapids Ballet presents Swan Lake at the end of the month. We get a preview. The Roving Mic heads to Renew Mobility. We talk about paid leave for teachers in Michigan. And it's time to prepare for the Addies. We talk about how.
Rise, Girl, Rise. Feminist organizer Gloria Steinem and Nobel Peace Prize winner Lema Bowie share their parallel journeys as activists. Let's talk about the collaboration and more. Gloria, a pleasure to speak with you. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Lema, good morning to you. Congratulations on your success as well.
Thank you. Good morning.
Gloria, how did this collaboration come about?
Well, we met long ago, probably Lema remembers better than I do, in Manhattan. And we realized right away that friendship was way more important than distance. So no matter how far away you are in the world, you can be in touch and be friends.
Lema, would you add to that?
Sure. Years ago, we have a mutual friend, Abby Disney, introduced Gloria and I. And first, I was really starstruck because as a young African feminist, I read Gloria, heard about her amazing work, her boldness, her tenacity. So meeting her, I was very excited. But that friendship, as she rightly said, gradually morphed into sisterly solidarity. She came to Ghana to visit me when I used to work there, even though I'm from Liberia. My daughter, my last daughter, who's 16, when I was pregnant with her, we had her baby shower at Gloria's apartment. But there was a defining moment. At one point, I was really, really evaluating my interaction with the feminist movement, specifically the one that I had worked with in Liberia, because I felt like there was a lot of toxic, you know, it was very toxic. I didn't want to be there anymore. And feeling really blue, I went to see Gloria on an Easter Sunday morning, almost 17 years ago. We sat at a kitchen table, and we just talked. I pulled out my heart. She asked me to audit my sisters in my circle. Unfortunately, even though I had thousands of women that I could call sisters, she said to me, you don't have one that you can really hang on to, so you need to find that one who is in your corner. And then I said to her, well, I'm just tired. I want to leave the movement. And she said, regardless of where you find yourself, there will always be toxic people. So don't leave. The feminist movement, the women's movement needs you. So it was a really heart-touching conversation. Over the last years, we continue to interact. And during the pandemic, I'm sitting thinking about, I started writing children's books, and I got in touch with a friend who introduced me to Andrea at Scholastic. And as we were chatting, we talked about my interaction, my friendship with Gloria over the years. And she's like, would you talk to Gloria about doing a book together? And that's how it all started.
Thank you for that. Rise, Girl, Rise is the book. Gloria Steinem, a picture book, but its message clearly reaches far beyond children. Tell me more here.
Yes, I think that we understand better these days how small the globe is, but we may not still believe that we can have friends on different continents and different languages and different countries, but we can. And thanks to technology, it's probably easier now than it ever was before. So even if our governments are not sometimes doing what we wish they would, we can make our own network of personal governments by talking to each other and understanding each other.
Yes. Staying with you, Gloria, you say that feminism is about freedom for everyone. This book expands what? The idea of feminism for a new generation, if you can expand?
Well, I think that we have had the assumption that masculinity was superior for a very long time and in many different cultures. We have had movements of women, very courageous women, from India to the U.S. to Africa, all over the world. And we are only now, I think, beginning to see each other without adjectives as unique individuals somewhere on the globe that have a great deal to teach each other.
In closing, I wish we had more time. Rise, girl, rise. If I can go back to you, Lema. Parents, teachers, caregivers, you want us to read along with kids and learn as well these conversations?
Oh, definitely. Especially in a very deeply divided world where the whole thing of race and color and creed, us versus them, this book is an ode to our collective humanity. It's an ode to not just girls and women, but showing men and boys how it should be done, how it is done. This is glorious, and I give to the world, especially in such a time as we live.
Your final comments to me, Gloria Steinem, on how to find out more information on Rise, Girl, Rise.
Well, you can find it online. You can find the book itself, which is big and beautiful. Even if you can't find it, you can take the idea of the book and see how that making of connections and across cultures, languages, countries fits into your life.
Thank you both for your work, Gloria Steinem, Nobel Peace Prize winner Lema Bowie, sharing your parallel journeys as activists. Rise, girl, rise. Take care, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This will be a wonderful opportunity come the end of the month. Attend the performance by our Grand Rapids Ballet, Swan Lake, the second time a full-length production is presented for the Grand Rapids Ballet, thanks to the talents of artistic director. We'll call you a choreographer for this as well, James Sofranco in the house. James, good morning.
Hi, Shelley.
And the talents of Talia Lebowitz and your teammates, if I can call you that, because you're an athlete. Talia, good morning to you.
Good morning.
When did you first learn to dance? Ballet.
Very first when I was 5 years old.
Wonderful. And it didn't stop there, did it?
No.
Yes. Thank you for you and the talents we see. James Sofranco, here we are. Happy 2026. Are you ready for a bit of a Swan Lake end of the month?
Yes. This is a ballet that has been known for generations of dancers and audiences since its premiere in 1895. So this is a ballet that has grown in the hearts and minds of so many dancers and people who just enjoy the movement, the music. The music by Tchaikovsky is such a wonderful score. We have it played live by the Grand Rapids Symphony. It's such an iconic story. Parts of it with the women in the white tutus as the swans by the lake, the woman who plays Odette Odile, the sort of black swan, white swan dual character. There's just a lot of iconic things about the Swan Lake that you think of when you think of classical ballet. So this feels like a real a milestone for us as a ballet company.
I do introduce this as your second full-length production for the Grand Rapids Ballet. What's this mean?
So this is a world premiere, although it was premiered, like I said, in 1895. This is a version that is tailor-made by me. So I'm choreographing it after Marius Petipa and Lev Ivanov, the original creators. So I'm using what we sort of have come to believe, you know, we don't have a record of exactly what was done all the, you know, years ago, but we have an idea of it. The germs of it have been passed down. So we do versions of that. So this is a new version that uses that past. So it's like paying homage to what came before us, but also making some sections of it brand new, keeping some sections the same, like the Four Little Swans, which Talia is one of those, iconic piece of choreography there. And so in that way, it's new and sort of traditional at the same time. And I choreographed a new Romeo and Juliet 3 years ago. So that's why this Swan Lake is my second world premiere full-length ballet.
What's the run? And then we'll go to Talia.
So we premiere in 3 weeks. So we've got some time to still work on it. We're getting close to finishing it. Maybe today or yesterday, we almost finished it. February 27th, 28th, and March 1st are our three performance dates.
Talia Lebowitz, you okay playing a little swan?
Yes, very excited.
Tell me a little bit about you and your ballet history.
Well, so I am originally from Southern California, but I've been with Grand Rapids Ballet for five. This is my fifth season now. I did two seasons as an apprentice, and then this is my third season in the main company here.
So you've been through five winters.
Yes, yes.
doing your work inside where it's warm. Mm-hmm. How would you describe Swan Lake in the story?
I always think of it as just such a powerful ballet. Like James was saying, there's like all of the, just a stage full of women in these white tutus when we're doing Swan Corps. And that to me is always the most memorable part, both when I've watched it and dancing in it. It's just a super powerful experience of everyone dancing in unison or everyone just kind of filling the stage yes. together.
Do you have, shall I say, several roles in this?
I do, yeah. I will probably be in all four acts every show, kind of bouncing back and forth between a swan as well as some of the other characters.
Yes. And James, following up on the story of Swan Lake, is there a story for one who's never seen Swan Lake?
It's true. Yes, there is a story. It is the story of Princess Odette, who has been cursed by the evil sorcerer Rothbart to be a swan during the day and then transform back into a human form at night. Prince Siegfried falls in love with Odette and vows to marry her, only to be tricked by Rothbart and his evil daughter, Odile. So the role of Odette and Odile is played by the same character often. So that's why this is also a very famous ballet, because the ballerina is a tour de force for the ballerina. She plays the soft and vulnerable Odette, who Siegfried falls in love with first. And then in the third act, she plays the seductress and evil Odile in the third act. So she tricks Prince Siegfried. Odile tricks Prince Siegfried to swearing his love to somebody else, which then causes all this problem for Odette, because then she must remain a swan forever. In the end, there's a tragedy. So, you know, I don't want to give it away too much, but it's a good heartbreaking tragedy, but beautiful scenes, beautiful, beautiful music. Some of the best music that Tchaikovsky ever wrote.
That's cool. Talia, here we are again, 5th of February. Yes, still some time. Tell me a little bit about some behind the scenes. So right now, are you learning? Are you in theater? Are you blocking still? Are you staging?
Yeah, so we've been in the studio kind of still learning choreography and then working on the choreography that's already been learned. And so it's just a lot of going over everything, making sure, especially when we are doing our Swan Corps stuff, we all need to be dancing together, a lot of making sure we all have the same head, all our face in the same direction, all have the same foot in front, and just a lot of time in the studio right now, kind of ironing everything out.
So ballet is a team sport.
For sure.
For lack of better
especially
terms.
For Swan Lake.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, yes. Do you have some silly questions? Costume changes.
Yes, we're going to have probably a couple of like quick changes between the acts, especially. We'll kind of, like I was saying, go from a person in a nice pretty dress into changing into the swan tutu, changing our headpieces. Some people have to change their shoes. Sometimes we'll go from point shoes to character shoes and then back to point shoes. And so there will definitely be lots of costume changes.
Keep the shoes in order. There we are. Do you play... I mean, this is a story, Talia. Are you in character when you're dancing?
I try to be, yeah.
You still have to be Talia and get up on your toes, but do you play, I mean, are you a little swan?
Yes, for sure. Definitely getting into the character, and this music is so beautiful, so also leaning into kind of the quality of the music as well.
And back to athletes, what do you do on your off days? Are you working out? Are you resting? What's behind the scenes here?
Both. Kind of depending on how the rehearsal week went, how many hours I spent actually rehearsing, which usually is a lot. But depending on how my body's doing, I'll either rest, ice. I'll do like ice massages if I need to, or if I'm feeling good, I'll try and go to the gym, do an extra workout.
Just go out and do some snow angels.
That'd
take care of that. James, tonight there's an event at Wealthy Theater.
That's right. The Wealthy Street Theater is doing a special showing of the movie Black Swan. Some of you out there have probably seen it. I think it's having its 15th anniversary this year. Natalie Portman made the role famous. She was portraying the dual role that I just spoke about, Odette Odile, in this fictional ballet company. And there's lots of, you know, psychological issues, let's say. And so it's a thriller. And so we're doing a little panel discussion before the movie showing tonight. So at 7 o'clock tonight, you can come hear us speak to some more dancers about their experience rehearsing and performing Swan Lake, a little bit about how the movie relates to real life or not. And then we're going to show the movie.
But again, all part of this community. Tali, I often end with saying, why come see the show? Why come see the ballet come the end of February?
I think it's such a beautiful production, especially Swan Lake. Like we were saying, the music is so gorgeous. The dancing is going to be beautiful. And just having this full stage of people kind of all together, I think is really powerful. And can be very emotional to watch.
Nice. Well, stay safe and stay rehearsing, but there's nothing like Showtime seeing you, your talents on stage. Thank you, Talia. Enjoy your day. Tell me how to get tickets, and obviously we're headed to DeVos Performance Hall.
That's right. Three shows at DeVos Performance Hall, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. That's February 27th, 28th, and March 1st. You can find out all the information on our website, grballet.com.
All right. March 1st, we'll be getting closer to spring. There we are. James Sofranco, Talia Lebowitz, thank you very much on behalf of the Grand Rapids Ballet and Swan Lake. Moving my kids to Renew Mobility, whose mission is to provide mobility equipment to those in need. We take a tour and talk about the upcoming fundraising event, speaking with Megan Harkin, program coordinator. Renew Mobility, what are you all about as we move into year number 2026?
Yeah, so here at Renew Mobility, we are providing essential mobility equipment to people in the community who need it. Kids, adults, seniors, there's a big gap in access to mobility equipment. So here we try to bridge that gap and allow people to roll or walk over it and join their peers out in the community, move about their homes independently, and just fully participate in life.
I guess the blunt question is, are you busy? Do our Grand Rapidians and beyond need your help?
They absolutely do. We are consistently getting in equipment requests. So what that looks like is people who need this equipment can reach out to us through our website, and we check our warehouse to see if we have it here. If we do have it, we will let them or give them a call and get them set up with either a delivery or pickup of that equipment, which is checked in by our wonderful volunteers here and also delivered by them as well.
Take a quick tour after our introduction here, but to the layman, what types of equipment do you have for your clients?
Yeah, so we have wheelchairs, walkers, bathroom equipment. We do provide power equipment as well. Canes, pretty much you name it, as long as it has to do with mobility, we'll have it here for you.
Does it cost your client anything?
This is completely free of cost, so we rely on the community for funding, whether that's individual donors, businesses, private funders. We don't get any state or federal funding, so it really is a big community effort here all around.
And I trust you ask for the gently used equipment to be donated?
Absolutely, yep. So all the equipment you'll see in our warehouse here in a second is donated in by the community. So from start to finish, it is all donations, both monetary and in kind.
I'm looking at your wonderful brochure and obviously the pictures. So you help the little ones who need a rolling walker to, the older ones who might want to sit down and move on a scooter.
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest reasons we see people come to us are due to financial or insurance-related barriers. For kiddos, they might get something covered through insurance, and by the time they actually get it, they've grown, you know, 5 inches and are needing something that fits them right now. Sometimes insurance will provide them with those modifications. But again, in that waiting period, we kind of help support those growth spurts. And then for seniors or just adults, they might get a cane covered this year, and next year they need a walker, but insurance will only provide them one every 5 years, so they're going to have to wait another 4, and that's kind of where we're able to step in and fill those gaps.
Are you, as Renew Mobility, truly enhancing independence for persons with disabilities?
Yes, absolutely. We have a lot of success stories. We have a lot of return customers. We have people that are always showing up to our events telling us how much, you know, we've really helped change their life. So not only do we get to give new life to the equipment, but in turn, we give new life to our clients as well.
Want to take me for a tour?
Yes, absolutely.
Taking me on a tour, where have you taken me?
Yeah, so we are back in our warehouse, which is conveniently connected to our office space.
Open the door.
Yeah, so we actually only have 4 workers and the rest is all volunteers. So this is where our warehouse tech kind of keeps things organized, where our volunteers come in. They pull this equipment here, get it checked in, cleaned up, and essentially renewed.
And
then it goes onto these shelves and into the space until someone reaches out to us and needs it.
So describe what we're looking at maybe on the second floor here.
Yeah, so the second shelf is kind of our cutesy space where we keep our pediatric equipment. So this is pediatric wheelchairs, gait trainers, standers, some reverse walkers. These big ones on the floor are tilt and space wheelchairs, as well as our power equipment. We have our bathroom items, commodes, shower chairs. Pretty much you name it. We can find it here most
of
the time.
So the process is I bring in a gently used wheelchair, and then your volunteer checks it out and cleans it up?
Yep, absolutely. So we get those in-kind donations here. They go into this nice, big, beautiful pile of equipment. Not the prettiest, but it will get cleaned up, looking pretty, make sure it's sturdy, and then it gets put into our inventory. Someone submits that request online, and we come back here, make sure we have it, and reach out to them to get them what they need.
I'm not to mention this, but and I'm seeing it, stroller parts, Rift and Pacer parts. I mean, you need a new battery. Is that available?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as batteries go, it has to be originally donated by us for the power equipment. But then once it is donated out by us, we take care of it for the whole life of that piece of equipment. For these Rift and Pacers and stroller parts, same thing. If a kiddo needs one of those and something needs fixed, we take full responsibility for that item for the life of it.
Do you often work with occupational and or physical therapists to work with fit and comfort and more?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes the therapist provides us with measurements and fittings up front. If not, we actually have some OTs and PTs here in-house that will help us. We have a wonderful volunteer who has worked with a lot of pediatrics in the past, so she'll help do adjustments. But we kind of work together with everybody's support, whole support system, in order to get them most comfortable.
And does a client choose his or her own chair? Say, I want pink instead of red?
Sometimes we have that option available. If, you know, there's 2 things of the same size, we'll definitely try to set them up with the blues or the pinks. We do have people ask, you know, what color power chair are they going to get? But, you know, most of the time people are just happy to be getting something that fits and that they're comfortable in.
Of course, what caught my eye is that's a chair from the past.
Yeah, so we have some of our fun items. That is quite an old wheelchair. We also have this wall of canes that aren't necessarily...
Wall of canes? What's
so,
that?
This is it's kind of our fun wall. So these are ones that might not be the best to give out. And yeah, the most functional, but they're fun. So we kind of display them here.
How cool. What do you get out of what you do?
Oh, man. I mean, just showing up to work somewhere every day that I'm passionate about and that helps people is just so fulfilling to me. When I moved back to Michigan, I wanted something that I could call a passion job. So being able to show up here definitely is fulfilling that for me.
Do you still need volunteers?
We love a volunteers. We do need volunteers. People can help with office work. They can drive. They can help check in equipment. But volunteering is a huge way to support us right now.
Where are you located?
We are located off of 29th Street, so our crossroads are 28th and Breton. We do have a location in Muskegon for drop-offs of donations or returns. We partner with Trinity Health out there, so if someone did want to reach us with something they're looking to give in that area, they can get a hold of us and we can get them set up out there as well.
Nice. Let's talk about an event that does bring dollars and, fitness to our community in April. We'll most likely talk again, but what's happening when it comes to programming?
Yeah, so right now we have two events coming up in the springtime once the snow finally melts and gets out of here. One is the Wheel Run for Everyone. That is a 5K that we encourage people to show up to and either wheel, roll, walk, run around Grand Valley's campus. So that is coming up on April 11th this year, and people can find more information about that on our Facebook page. Shortly after, we'll be posting details on our annual karaoke fundraiser. You can pay to sing, you can pay to make someone else sing, you can pay to get out of singing or change your song, but both are really fun fundraisers. And just by showing up, I think a lot of people don't realize how much that truly helps support and impact our mission and keeps us saying yes to those who need us.
Is your wheel run still run by Grand Valley Physical Therapists in the making?
Yes, it is. So it is with the Grand Valley Physical Therapy Program, and those students are so great to us every year. They really kind of take the reins on that one and help get us set up.
That's important. How else can the community help you?
The biggest thing is just in-kind donations as well as monetary donations. We are only supported through local businesses and private donors and funders. Volunteers are a really big part of what we do. We could not run without them. There's 4 staff and I believe around 20 volunteers right now. So that's really huge for us in keeping this mission going.
As we all should keep the mission going. RenewMobility.org for more information. How does Michigan stack up when it comes to paid leave for teachers? This is the topic of our conversation as new state-by-state data from the National Council on Teacher Quality finds that, only 1 in 3 teachers have access to paid parental leave. Let's turn to you, Heather Pesky, president of, NCTQ. Let's talk to you about this report and more. Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate you and the results of this report, putting Michigan on the forefront. What does, Heather, the new report reveal about the status of paid parental leave for teachers, please?
Well, when we looked across the country, what we saw is that there's not much opportunity for teachers to get access to paid parental leave. In fact, most states, 2/3 of states, don't require paid parental leave for teachers. And Michigan is unfortunately one of those states that does not require paid parental leave for teachers, leaving many teachers to scramble to figure out whether they need to choose between having their own children and their students.
Would you give me the one-on-ones of the definition of paid parental leave?
Yes. What we looked at is whether the state requires that teachers get access to 12 weeks of fully paid time off to have their children. And what we mean by that is that they're paid their full-time salary, and also we looked at whether the state helps to support the school districts to pay for the substitutes who take the place of the teachers who are on leave. So that's the definition of paid parental leave, 12 weeks fully paid salaries.
Thank you. The lack of paid parental leave, how does it contribute perhaps to teacher shortages and burnout?
Well, what it means is that teachers have to decide, first of all, if they're going to have children and if they can afford to have children without being paid to take the time off. It means that teachers often have to do things like hoard their sick days or try to time their pregnancies in the summer when they're off of school. And ultimately, sometimes it means that teachers either decide not to have children or they decide to leave teaching altogether in order to raise their own families. And so we're really asking teachers to make this terrible choice between their own children and having their own children and their students and their profession, a profession that many of them love. So it's really, we're really putting teachers in a terrible situation, and we're just increasing the likelihood that teachers will leave the profession at a time when we really need to be focused on making sure that we're keeping great teachers in schools.
Yes, we all remember our favorite teacher, and we want to keep that up. Yes, only 1 in 3 teachers report access to paid parental leave, and I understand 2/3 of all states offer no guaranteed paid parental leave. So tell me, only 2 states do currently offer these 12 weeks of paid parental leave. What is the most realistic step to take to make Michigan count?
Well, only 2 states right now in the nation offer fully paid 12 weeks of paid parental leave, and that's Delaware and Arkansas. Michigan can follow the examples of these states by deciding that they want to invest in policies that invest in teachers and invest in families. And the way to do that is really to follow the lead of Delaware and Arkansas and require that teachers get access to 12 weeks of paid parental leave. This will strengthen their families. It will also improve teacher retention. And ultimately, it improves outcomes for children.
Talking all things, well, teachers, paid parental leave, data from the latest report on how Michigan stacks up with this state-by-state data from the National Council on Teacher Quality, Heather Pesky with us. I understand it's important that paid parental leave include fathers, adoptive parents, other non-birthing parents. Discuss this?
Yes, absolutely. We're talking about paid parental leave for all parents who welcome a child into their family. I was talking recently with a parent who's an adoptive parent, and she was talking about just how much time she needed to spend even navigating the legal system as well as attending a bunch of doctor's appointments with her new child. And so we're talking about paid parental leave for all parents because it really strengthens families, it improves outcomes for children, and ultimately it really can lead to both attracting and retaining teachers in Michigan. We estimate right now that about 1,000 teachers a year are leaving Michigan classrooms because they don't get access to paid parental leave. And we estimate that you could really keep a large percentage of those teachers if you simply offered this paid parental leave for a short period of time to support teachers having their own children and ensuring that their children are welcomed into their houses and into their families before they go back to schools and before they're ready to go back and become a classroom teacher again.
Interesting. Other statistics I'm seeing of those teachers who do receive paid parental leave, less than half say it's adequate. And when teachers, Heather, leave the classroom, large districts can spend roughly $25,000 just to replace a single teacher these days?
That's right. The costs of not providing paid parental leave are actually much more than the costs of providing paid parental leave. We estimate that if a teacher leaves a classroom, it takes about $25,000 to replace that teacher. That's in things like hiring costs or in retraining teachers who come into new schools and new districts. So really, you can really pay for paid parental leave. And in fact, we estimate that in some cases, the cost of paid parental leave is about a cup of coffee per taxpayer per year. So we're talking about a policy that is a really strong, good investment that will benefit families, teachers, and also ultimately improve children's outcomes.
Do the math on that coffee and then do what you need to do. Leave us with an action item, please.
Yes, legislators and policymakers in Michigan should offer 12 weeks of fully paid parental leave for teachers, including birthing and non-birthing parents. It's a smart investment for the state, and it's a smart investment for Michigan's children.
Good to be a parent, yet look for your rights. One more time, how do we find out more information, please?
You can find us on our website, the National Council on Teacher Quality, at nctq.org.
Thank you for your leadership, President of NCTQ, Heather Pesky. Take care.
Thank you.
that you are here, board chair, AAF West Michigan. That's you, Marissa Fellows. Good morning, Marissa.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, don't get excited because submissions have already been presented for your February 27th event, I understand.
That is correct. We had nearly 350 submissions between professional and student. So really excited to see the creative work put out from 2025 from the industry.
Great. Well, we know you as the Addies, but this is the American Advertising Awards. For those unfamiliar, what are they?
Well, it is one of the largest award shows and award programs nationally. It's hosted by the National American Advertising Federation, and we're the local chapter. There are 180 chapters nationwide, so we're really pleased to be representing the Greater Grand Rapids and Lakeshore area in this industry realm.
And we're saying advertising. You're talking, what, campaigns, cinematography? Who enters this? These Addies?
A lot of agencies, so most of the big agencies here locally and in West Michigan are very familiar with the awards, but we really want to encourage freelancers and also in-house marketing and MarCom departments to also be kind of tuned in to this work because it's a lot broader than what you might typically think of as an advertising spot. You know, we've got the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. It's, of course, that industry itself has evolved a lot. So you think about branding, you think about promotional materials, sales and marketing promotional materials, identity work, packaging design even. So it runs a lot broader than some might think true advertising would be considered, which is a really fun opportunity for people to display their work if they're not doing large production videos.
The party is February 27th right here in Grand Rapids. When and where specifically?
6 to 10 p.m. at the JW Marriott. We're going to be throwing quite the bash. We're going to have a little official after party after the programming resolves, and there will be all of the great real content, so you get to actually see all of the creative work displayed on the main stage.
Nice. And do the winners know their winners when they go, or do you award them from how does that work?
That's a great question. In the next week, we will be announcing or at least sharing with the different winners that they have won an award. So people will be aware if they've won an award. They won't know until the day of if they have a silver or a gold. So that's a fun surprise the night of. And then for folks who haven't won an award, it's really great for talent recruitment. It's great for just eyeing what's going on and kind of the people who are making the news and making a splash within all of that creative work.
I would think there would be some networking opportunity there for sure. Sure. Of course, that's a Friday night, so that's fun. Tell me a bit more about how the awards competition work. If one wins locally, what happens then?
You asked that. So gold are automatically forwarded to the district level. So that is Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and I believe Ohio. And so that's really exciting. And then those that qualify at districts go on to nationals. End of May, there's a national event called AdMerica. This year it's in Austin. So that's a really exciting opportunity for us to display our work here locally at a national scale. Silver have the opportunity to forward their own work at their own cost.
Do you do a gold, silver, and bronze?
We have done bronze in the past. We aren't currently doing bronze, so it's really the silver and gold, but we also really love to allow people to just have the honor of submitting because it's really important to me. I always say this, celebrating your work. Take the time to do that. Not enough people do. So I'm proud of all the people, all of the submissions, and we set the bar pretty high for silver and gold too. So it's quite the honor.
Nice. Before I talk about how this is a cool opportunity for students, you do have categories in this is Addie talk, but cinematography, animation, and more here?
Yeah, I mean, the video-specific category is quite broad. You even have sound design. So when it comes to video work, and a lot of the production studios in town are really attuned to this award specifically because they get a chance to show off their chops.
Are there student divisions here?
Yes. So this year, we're really proud that we actually had more student submissions than last year. We had a bit lower count total this year, but the students really have shown up. So we've been really working on building those relationships with all the various universities locally, and we hope that they come so that they can celebrate their peers.
Marissa Fellows with us, board chair for the AAF West Michigan. That's AAF standing for the American
Advertising Federation.
There we are. Of course, strong nationally and locally with the Addies this February 27th. So a student may not have submitted but wants to be in the room where it happens. What is the action item? How does one best network? I mean, obviously, don't walk up to me and hand me your business card and walk away. Tell us more about the role of networking for our future.
I mean, I believe in the power of authentic connection over networking any and every day. We're really pleased that students get the opportunity to volunteer at the event, too, which means, you know, greeting people as a friendly face at registration. We even have some opportunities this year to get involved in video editing for the real content that will be run during the show. So I think that my recommendation for students just getting started is to be highly curious, ask professionals about their work and what excites them about their work so that you get that dialogue, and always follow up. That's a big thing. That is a soapbox I will stand on. Professionals are really busy. If you don't get a reply right away, that doesn't mean an automatic no. So I think there's tons of follow-up networking. And we also have ads and ales the second Thursday of every month. So students can also come to that so that they can kind of extend the benefit of the award show this month.
What's your background in the field?
I've run the gamut. I started my career in PR and then integrated marketing, and have been working in creative strategy, mostly for brand activation, for about a decade now. So mostly in tech. It's been a great, great run, and I own my own business as well now.
You're still running. There we are.
Yeah.
And then you have a strong board with AAF?
Yeah, we're always looking for more interest in the board, but we've been really pleased to have representation from freelance and from a lot of the larger production companies. So I'm truly fortunate because, as we know, anything well done takes a village.
Yes. All right, coming back to February 27th, why is it so important to recognize the great work of advertising professionals in West Michigan?
If we don't, who will? I really think that we don't take enough time to stop and take stock of the things that we're doing and the work that we should be proud of. We're just, especially in agency world, everything runs so fast that we're on to the next. So I think it's really important. It also is key business drivers, right? Advertising drives revenue. So if we have greater visibility of all the great things the businesses here locally are doing, that's in large part due to the collaboration between the agencies running it and the creative work done there.
It's probably happening now and no bribing, but who judges your Addies?
We have three judges this year. They're all from outside of the region. So various agency, typically creative director and above. So we've got one from the West Coast, California, one from the Houston area, and one from the Nashville area. So really showing them what our region's all about.
So then when they say submitted by Marissa Fellows, they'll have no clue who you are.
Exactly. Highly unbiased, which is how it is intended.
Of course. All right. Details for February 27th on how we can, witness these wonderful Addies.
You can purchase your tickets on Eventbrite or going to our website, which is www.aafwmi.org. And we are excited to see folks there. Any questions, you can email admin@aafwmi.org. And that's the details. Our JW Marriott, Friday, February 27th, starting at 6 p.m.
A party to be had and yet work to be honored. Thank you very much for your leadership and talents speaking about these Addy Awards on the 27th. Marissa Fellows, take care.
Thank you.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Stephen King, the scariest moment is always just before you start. Well, that's for sure. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin.